30 August 2000. Mowing Robot Project. Yu-Gi-Oh! After extending hour long, the idea came to me to build an automatic lawnmower. In view of the surface area 55 m, the existing Husqvarna machine was too big. Objectives. Roughly dimensioned to fit an A4 sheet. Should also be capable of cutting the edges properly. Should operate fully automatically. Should mow approximately 4 hours per day. Lightweight, energy saving, in future on solar energy, sturdy design, no question. Well, here we go. In the first design I used two stepping motors taken from a 5.25 inch IBM disk drive, a basic standby iComputer model making wheels with an 8 centimeters diameter made by Conrad and a lot of luck. 7 September 2000. After doing a lot of thinking, I come to the conclusion that in connection with mowing the edges the mower should be constructed as a front mower. This is made of an A4 epoxy chassis plate, printed circuit board, provided with two drive wheels and a trailing wheel at the rear. Because the wheels are too small to mount the motors directly onto the wheels, they are mounted on top of the chassis using a chain/gear drive on a shaft rotating in ball bearings underneath the chassis. Reason, chains are rather insensitive to contamination. The stepping motor control system consists of an L297 plus an L298 for both motors. The first detection is done by way of micro switches. 14 September 2000. After a lot of building and a bit of software, the prototype was ready for its first performance in the living room. But alas, the motors can't even manage a mere 2% grade, so I can put the garden right out of my head. The motor power is too low. Back to the drawing board. Because I also have two more powerful stepping motors of approx. 1.2A, as against the 150 mAh of the old motors, this should work. Imagine me thinking that these would burn rubber like hell. I have rebuilt the frame and I have applied a different motor controller using the UNC-4508. The new motors are of the unipolar type. One of the objectives, lightweight, is already down the drain. The motors weigh 600 grams apiece and the machine should be provided with a more powerful, therefore heavier, battery. But then nature is cruel and you just want to have a go at it. The trial with the new motors in the living room is going well. The machine is driving nicely along the skirting boards of the room. And now, to the garden for the first try run without a mowing unit. I have put off the mowing issue to be dealt with later on. Disappointment everywhere. The thing won't budge an inch. I had even pre-mowed the grass with a hand mower and said to my UDO, "Look, that's the way to do it." We have already started talking to it. And guess what? Nothing doing, nada, zippo. The cause is that the grass stalks are approx. 4 centimeters high. This means that the machine, with its weight of 3 kilograms and wheels of 8 centimeters, has to overcome an upward gradient of 45 degrees, and that each motor has to raise 15 kilograms. But what's the way to go about it then? Bigger wheels? This means that the entire construction should be rebuilt. In short, I'm going about it in the wrong way. Back again to the drawing board. 21 September 2000. I come to the conclusion, do not build just like that and work by approximation, but calculate everything and start from scratch. The wheels should be bigger, that's for sure. So, I've ordered new wheels having a 16 centimeters diameter. But should it actually be a drive, based on stepping motors? These motors have a poor efficiency and are heavy. Moreover, what's the added value of a mower that can be controlled to an accuracy of 0.125 centimeters? After developing a mathematical model in Excel and inputting the old constructions, the result is what I have experienced with the previous models. The first one has a forward thrust of 100 grams and the second model has a thrust of 800 grams. That's simply impossible! I have consulted some technical literature from Conrad, and in it I found gear motors of 180 m/cm. They use up 1.5 W and weigh 200 grams. This should do the trick, I feel. Objective, lightweight, back on the agenda, and a forward thrust of 2.5 kilograms per wheel. I don't know how long these motors will last, but they are not expensive. The new construction gives good results right from start at half the supply voltage, that is, 6V. Fine so far, the consumption of the drive is now 200 mAh. 30 September 2000. Now I'm going to start with a mowing unit. I have ordered, again with Conrad, motors having a speed of 5,600 RPM and 11,000 RPM. Using these motors, I'm going to experiment with a cutting blade and a saw plate. I have made a feeble attempt to calculate this, but I don't know how. So, according to thee, we'll just see what happens, model. I myself have the feeling that a saw plate is going to work, because it can be balanced without a problem. But a good friend says that a cutting blade is best, because this can be bent like a fan and it does not blow away the grass but sucks the grass into the blade. He may have something there. So, this is what I'm going to try first. Meanwhile, I've been doing endurance tests with a drive section in the hall of our house. These go smoothly, and UDO manages to work its way out of every situation. 3 October 2000. Jen, a friend of mine, has access to a CNC milling machine at work and is making the frame from rigid foam PVC. Meanwhile, the whole infernal machine has been input into AutoCAD, which makes life a lot easier. For now I can put all components in their proper place before any building takes place. Already a full box of them by now. The frame is ready and I'm in the process of building up the machine. The first test goes well. I opted for 10 micro switches for the front sensor. I still can't find another solution to make the front sensitive to touching an obstacle. Tests performed by a Swede with an IR remote sensor came to nothing because the surface to be measured was very small. To mount a servo on it, to look around like an eye, seems too much of a good thing to me. A rubber band, combined with a press button switch, is perhaps a possibility. The micro switches are in place now, and the system works well. The mowing motor is mounted near the drive shaft with a pulley drive to the shaft of the cutting blade. The reason for this is that it is not desirable to have too much mass at the front of the front mower. The mowing motor drive is made using a BUK-100. This is a power FET with a TTL input and is provided with all kinds of protective devices. Nice. 4 October 2000. At the moment I'm trying to come up with something involving an RF sensor for demarcating the garden using a buried wire. I'm going to have a try using an MK484 receiver and a transmission wire at 100 kHz. I'm also thinking of a green sensor at the front of UDO so that the mower will reverse when it is no longer green underneath the machine. An RF wire is probably better. Such a wire can also be used in future to locate the battery charger. UDO has been let loose in the garden, fitted with a grass cutting blade. Disappointment all round, the blade immediately bends double upon touching grass. After 1 minute the blade looks like a whipped cream beater. Immediately after this, I have mounted two break-off blades of a hobby knife. Perfect, it's mowing. 10 October 2000. Lately I've measured the current through the mowing motor and it is still too high, approx. 1.5A. I also intend to experiment with a lower supply voltage, but the grass will have to grow a bit more to be able to determine the result. The micro switches should actually be protected by a plastic flap, but various attempts ended in failure. The current plan is to make a circular front frame with the switches fitted in the center. The advantage of this is that the switches are positioned lower, 7 cm instead of 10 cm, and the rubber front flap is easier to mount. 20 November 2000. During the past few days I've been working on the RF receiver for radio demarcation. The use of the MK484 gets stuck due to the fact that reception below 150 kHz is not possible with this chip. Now I have made a selective receiver operating at 70 kHz using an LM339 comparator. It's functioning well now on the workbench and I'm going to connect it to the processor. However, I do hope I won't be paralyzing all DCF77 time receivers in the neighborhood. It won't come to this, I expect, because the receiver has a high sensitivity so that I won't need so much transmitting power. I have ordered another processor unit, the C-Control, made by Conrad. I get totally fed up with this clumsy instruction set, provided with a basic stamp controller. Every software construction makes my skin crawl and causes cramp in my fingers. That thing should be banned forever. Tonight I'm going to find out whether the 70 kHz pulse to the output of the comparator will cause problems to the I/O input of the basic stamp. Jen is busy building his own CNC milling machine using my old stepping motors. I hope it will be operative very soon so that it will become possible to make more complex mechanical components. 10 December 2000. Haven't had time for a short while to keep the diary, but I've made quite some progress. Gen CNC machine works incredibly well, and the 70 kHz solution works very well, and I have continued to go down this road. I even managed to convert the signal to an AD value. However, this design was dropped because of the fact that I misused a comparator as a signal converter, the result of which is that it is hard to reproduce. A really good design drops due to the complex electronics it requires. It has kept me busy for at least 3 weeks. I have also experimented with a Hall sensor, but this doesn't work because I would have to send too much power through the transmission wire, probably transforming the garden into a microwave. I've also experimented with a maxim current sensor, the MAX472, but this one, too, is too insensitive. I did appreciate it in Maxim, though, that they sent free samples when I asked for them on the internet. But be it as it may, we will proceed with a 70 kHz comparator. 20 December 2000. Gen's knowing machine is working beyond expectation, and Gen has milled the front subframe with it, in which the front switches are now located in enclosed cells. The rubber flap is disappointing. It presses down the switches merely by its own weight. At a later stage, I'm going to build a latex bumper. This is available in liquid form and can be poured in a mold. The mowing motor is now directly in front of the wheel shaft by means of a geared belt. The cutting blade has been replaced by a disc fitted with three surgical lancets fitted to the end. This solution was opted for because these knives are of equal length and also light and rust-proof. 2 January 2001. The base frame is meanwhile made of aluminium with PVC wedged in between. The original frame was made of rigid foam PVC, but this material tended to sag a lot. 6 January 2001. I just might be onto a little patent. I have been racking my brain lately about the Hall sensor, because this is an elegant piece of semiconductor technique when compared to all this coil stuff. But it turns out quite difficult to measure a current through a conductor. The most sensitive sensor gets stuck at 5 or 10 centimeters range. How do I solve this without being stuck with a steaming garden? 20 January 2001. I got the idea to feed 30 through a wire while applying very short pulses at a 1% duty cycle so that I will be able to measure a distance of 60 centimeters. I'm going to provide the receiver with a manifold in order to obtain a constant output signal. The 30-op poses no problem with a large capacity ILCO as a buffer. The theoretically consumed current will be 0.3 now, and this is something we can work with. Meanwhile, the PCBs for the 70 kHz receivers are being made in the milling machine. 21 March 2001. I have built up UDO using the new PCBs and it looks fine. However, I did have some problems with the receivers. These are too sensitive, and the 77 kHz has also been a disappointing experience. In favorable reception conditions, UDO even received the atomic time signal in Germany. This was solved quickly by connecting a 10mF capacitor parallel to the receiving coil. It is now operating at 50 kHz. Only reception remains too sensitive, and because the coils are at an angle of 45 degrees, and add to this the fact that they receive on both sides, UDO is all round sensitive to reception, which sometimes confuses the software, resulting in UDO leaving the ring. The solution is simple, as good solutions always are: aluminium foil around the rear half of the coils. So far, UDO has been running for 5 consecutive hours without a hitch. The experiment with the Hall sensors comes to nothing. I can't get the sensitivity optimal. This is put on ice, but I will have another try later on. I have designed an internet site for UDO and Gen CNC milling machine. I've also applied for and obtained a domain. Its name is http://www.malvin.org. I have also come up with a new idea to enable UDO to find the charging station. The idea underlying this is, let UDO ride round the garden at right angles to the transmission wire and put the charging station somewhere on the wire. When the machine senses the wire, it will ride inwards. Two birds with one stone, the edges have been mounted and the charging station has been located. but I'm still having difficulties with the software. That is, to keep UDO at right angles to the wire while managing a sharp corner. 27 March 2001. The concept of tracking at right angles came to nothing. It was difficult to determine the position in the corners by using two sensors. It probably might have worked with a box brimming over with software. Now UDO follows the wire in the longitudinal direction, and that goes perfectly well, plus the software is compact and simple. In the meantime, I have designed the base station called UDO's home, Udopia, in AutoCAD. It consists of a small ship in the shape of a garage, fitted with a mechanical guidance system to guide it inwards, catch. At the end of this catch are two contacts to recharge the battery plus a switch so that UDO knows that it should stop. So, now we can put Gen CNC machine to work again to realize the whole design work. 28 April 2001. The bumper with the switches is still a thorn in my flesh. Now I'm considering fitting a kind of hose along the front with an air pressure sensor at the end. I have already ordered a pressure sensor. There are also some problems with starting the mowing motor. It causes such an induction pulse on the power supply that the CPU resets. In addition, I'm not making progress as to how I can regulate the speed from the software. The M-Basic unit has only two PWM outputs and these are now used for the drive motors. I have tried to let the DEET output act as a PWM regulator, but that ended in failure. I'm going to the German M-Basic forum shortly. I'll ask around whether someone has successfully managed to overcome this problem. 1 May 2001. The pressure sensor at the front is operating perfectly well, except for one slight problem, namely that the hose that is being used is a bit too rigid. Therefore, I'm now busy looking for a thin, walled silicone hose. I feel this is going to work. 6 May 2001. UDO has meanwhile been mowing the lawn successfully for 3 hours and there the real shortcomings came to light. 1. The mower is still a bit too small, it is still tipping to the sides too much during traveling across uneven surfaces. 3. The wheels should have a larger diameter and they can be considerably narrower, the mower is traveling too much on top of the grass and not on the ground underneath. 3. The motors should become slightly more powerful. I intend to solve these points by scaling up the construction about 1.5 times and to step up the power supply to 12V. It is currently 7.2V. 17 May 2001 UDO4ISDORN. Though it may still have some shortcomings, UDO3 has meanwhile been mowing the garden to my satisfaction for 20 hours. For a prototype, it is operating satisfactorily. And even more importantly, I have been able to leave a conventional hand mower in the shed. I have started to work on UDO4 and it has now been input in AutoCAD in its entirety, and the wheels have already been milled out. These are the new specifications. 3. Wheels, 250mm in diameter. 3. Cutting blade, 300mm in diameter. 3. Overall width, 300mm. 3. Overall length, 510mm. 3. Power supply, 12V8A. 3. Maximum cutting height, 65mm. When reviewing UDO3, it struck me that this version had too small a wheelbase and too short a wheelbase between the drive wheels and the trailing wheel. Especially when the trailing wheel was turning while reversing. The wheel would then tip forward slash backward too far. The motors were too weak when rotating round the shaft of UDO. As a result, the software had insufficient influence on the angle of rotation. This caused problems in the control software. The software thought that the wheel had made a 45-degree turn, but this angle would in reality be only 5 degrees. The drive wheels were too small. As a result, the motor shaft dragged through the grass. The drive wheels were too broad. As a result, they were traveling too much on top of the grass and not on the ground underneath. The trailing wheel was far too small and too broad. It dragged through the grass and sometimes, even worse, it rode across the grass. The mowing disc was located underneath the disc caused too much friction on blades and had too large a surface. The mowing disc would already mound grass. Yes, now we had again enough to deal with. The first problems occurred with the wheels, because the ones which had to meet my requirements were not available on the market. But here Jan came to my rescue again. He commented, "Then we'll just have to make them ourselves, won't we?" No sooner said than done. I have put them in AutoCAD according to the requirements. This resulted in drive wheels having a diameter of 250 millimeters and a breadth of 12 millimeters. A trailing wheel having a diameter of 125 millimeters and a breadth of 10 millimeters. The wheels now consist of stacked plastic discs, provided with notches at the outside in order to create treads. The disc, for the cutting blade, is now a kind of tripod, with the blades fitted at the ends. Jen is now in the process of milling the frame. This frame consists of two plates, which enclose the drive motors like a kind of box. This was now possible, because of the higher wheel shaft. Now the entire mowing drive assembly, including the RF sensors, can be placed in the box. The total underside is now flat. Besides, the collision sensor can now be mounted in a lower position. The fact that the underside is flat yields a lot of advantages, because the underside of UD03 can hardly be cleaned after its mowing operations. It looks like a beast. Now I'm experimenting with other drive motors, which have a lower speed. Because of the increased wheel diameter, this is really necessary, because even UD03 was traveling a bit too fast. 8 June 2001. UD04 has been milled by now, and it looks neat. The wheels and the trailing wheel are also ready. The trailing wheel runs entirely in ball bearings, neat solution. At this moment I'm assembling UD0 and the box construction is perfect. All electronics are now inside, even the pulley rotates on the inside. The motors I need are out of stock temporarily. So, I'm going to solve this for the purpose of the tests, by reducing the voltage to the motors to some extent using the PWM regulator. I hope that the torque will stay high enough, and that UD0 will not run too fast without load. Now that only the battery is on top of UD0, it can be constructed near waterproof. In addition, I have made a device allowing for the software to be downloaded via a connector without opening the machine. 15 June 2001. The drive motors are not performing satisfactorily. As could be expected, the torque is too low, therefore it will go like a rocket when riding without load and it will stop when the going gets tough. The motors I'm looking for should make about 8 revolutions per minute, but the motors I could find that meet these specifications were too expensive for hobby purposes. Now I have also found motors running 17 revolutions per minute which are affordable and I have ordered these. UD04 has meanwhile been subjected to some trial runs in the garden. The location of the RF sensors caused problems and there was quite some interference on the RF receivers originating from the PWM regulator. These are the same problems I experienced when developing UD03. But I was able to solve them all, so that doesn't worry me much.